Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am to be here today. This has been a source of just so much fulfillment just in my life for the last week here in this church. And I know a lot of you guys play into that. Just the relationship that we have with Gustavo and Ricardo now, even Junior, it has affected me where God's shown me so much just in His Word, in my time with God, that I know the ramifications of the services that we were in last week really play into that. I want to talk to you just for a minute that our reality is inferior, just as human beings. See, there's three basic levels of living, and then there's different levels broken down in those three levels. But the initial level is just the human level. It's what we're born into. We're subject to gravity, the whole deal. It's kind of a middle level. But then there's a lower level that the enemy's trying to pull us into, that through depression and oppression and possession, what he tries to do is put a curse on our life, which suppresses the level of living that we have. If your finances are suppressed, it affects the whole of your life. If your health is suppressed, it affects the whole of your life, okay? So there's that human level, then there's that sub-level, which is a demonic level that suppresses, but then there's that God level. And that God level is the level that lifts us, that pulls us up. And that's what we endeavor to do in these church services. That's why we come together. That's why everything we do, and if you think about it, Guts Church is active in the community every day. And everything we do is to lift people initially so that there's a barrier and they can't get submerged in that lower level, but where it's lifted above just the regular way of living. If you're in this church or you've dedicated your life, given your life to God, and you're living a normal life, what's the point? I mean, what we have to understand is that my working definition, I have working definitions in my life, and I recommend for you to have them as well. But my working definition of submission is you relinquish all rights. My working definition of commitment is you've entered a room with no exits. My working definition of miracles is that the frail, inferior reality that I live in meets heaven. See, when heaven meets my life, miracles happen. And I'd like to be able to explain it to you. But see, none of this, it's not an intellectual level, an intellectual vein that we can hit and figure this whole thing out. That's why in the Old Covenant called it mysteries, that there's these mysteries. It's like, oh my gosh, well, God's revealed the mysteries of the ages to us, that it's Christ in us. I mean, Christ is in you. See, so what I want to do is I want to make sure that I'm not negotiating and bartering with the world or with the enemy and subverting and pulling my doctrine down. So I'm leaving no room in my doctrine to explain or to lack and need. I'm not leaving any part of my... Man, lack and need are not a part of my doctrine, what I live by. And see, my theology is kind of the cloak that is over everything, every way I think. But my doctrine is how I live. My doctrine is how I see things, how I approach things, how things hit me. When I hear things, it's got to factor through my doctrine. It's got to factor through that God's the healer, no matter what. God's our deliverer. God's our provider. God's our shelter. God's our peace. God's our joy. So everything's got to factor through that. And let me tell you, it can't. Bad news can't. See, Oral put it 50 years ago, put it incredibly well. Everything good's from God, everything's bad from the devil. If it's positive, it's God. If it's negative, it's the devil. It's that simple. See, and the idea of this is, it's life is not complex. This election that's coming up, it's not complex. It's very simple. It's very easy. If you just look at it, and you look at it through the kingdom, if you allow heaven to touch your heart when you go in to vote, and I'm telling you, all of us need to vote. All of us need to, that's our voice, and we need to, the church needs to have a voice. Do you understand? America, through a century of America, was governed by preachers, pastors, and theologians. Man, they were the governors. They were the senators. They were the representatives. Why? Because I believe our country's based on the church having a voice in this country. And see, we have to understand that if we're not voting, we have no voice. Man, it's just complaining. It's just murmuring. And the Bible says, do all things without murmuring or complaining, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But listen, this vote is pivotal. Because in my opinion, and let me just tell you, I've spent 30 years, Sadie and I have spent 30 years in ministry staying away from politics. I'm not a politician. I'm not a guy that's going to do a deal with you and split the difference. It's never going to happen. I don't split the difference in my life, all right? But I've stayed away from politics just because it's so divisive and so separating. And see, and what it is I want to stay in my lane. And what I endeavor to do is widen my lane. I'm not carrying a baton. I'm not running this race and carrying a baton. At the end of my race, I'm going to hand the baton to somebody else. That's never going to happen here. So if that's your expectation, that somebody's going to grab my baton, then you're going to be disappointed. Okay, but what I do want to do is I want to run my race in my lane. And that's the vision of this church, is my lane. And what I want to do is what God does is he widens the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. So I want to keep that lane wide enough that if you want to hook up and run, you can run. We're not going to be bumping into each other. We're not going to be butting heads. The Bible says God separates the sheep and the goats. He separates the rams and the rams. Why? Because rams butt heads. See, and what we've got to do is we've got to stay in our lane. But I want my lane wide enough that if you want to run in that lane, let's go. And if somebody is outrunning me, that means they take the lead. That means they become the leader. See, that's how this works. That's how it works in my life. And it's real simple. But see, my lane, what has happened for 30 years, I've endeavored to stiff arm politics and keep it. But let me tell you, what's happened is I'm not going to get into a political lane ever. But what's happened in our culture, and I believe it's because of social media and the entire world thinking that they have a voice that's based upon winds of doctrine and not God's word. Okay, that what's happened is politics has come into my lane. It's seeped into my lane. So now, let me just tell you, I'm going to vote, and what I'm going to vote is I'm going to vote the kingdom. And you know, I know there's a lot of issues. There's just three main issues for me. Number one is the unborn. I'm voting for the unborn. See, it's not like the 50s and 60s where it was a mass of cells. See, abortion came into vogue, and science was, it's a mass of cells, just eliminate that. And let's do it safely. Let's keep these women safe. But let me tell you, they don't realize the spiritual, mental, and emotional terror that comes into those people's lives. Let me tell you, and I've said this for years, and it's probably ticked people off. The baby's not the victim. Baby goes to heaven. The baby gets the grand prize. That mama's the victim. Man, you rarely are you going to find a man that has been a partner in an abortion that is like, oh my gosh, I think about it every day, every year the birthday comes up and the whole deal. But let me tell you, the girl, every one of them. See, so I look at this and I'm going to vote for the unborn. And here's what I believe. And I'm not saying this politically, but it's become political. It's come into my lane as a pastor. And my voice, I believe I need to speak to it. I'm gonna that birth starts at life starts at conception. And you're like, well, but can they feel anything? I'm not asking if they can feel anything. I'm asking when life happens. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is human trafficking. If we have porous borders, man, the consumption and the worldliness and the demonic at play in America, man, I'm telling you, we become a cesspool of trafficking. And you know, if what little we hear, what I heard a statistic years ago that the average pedophile gets caught on the 30th offense. So I think about that. I think, well, no matter what it is, man, rarely are people caught in the first offense. But you know, traffickers, those guys are really good at it. It's like con men. It's like those guys that you go to New York City and they've got the cups and they're saying, okay, what ball's the cup under? And you never get it right because they're better than us at this. They're better, the criminals are better at cheating and doing what they're doing than we are at catching them. So how many offenses are there with trafficking? And I'm telling you, a big way for us to do that is for us to secure our borders. And I understand drugs and immigration. My heart is, Sandy and I celebrate diversity. Not just here in this church, we do it in our home. I'm a cheer dad. Do the math. I didn't wake up one day and go, dear God, I hope my girls are cheerleaders. No, it was cute when they were 6 and 7. It really was. It was cute. And then they start doing these flips, and then they start breaking bones, and then they start tearing ligaments, and then they go do it through college. And now Kennedy's still coaching cheer. I can't get away from it. But you know what? We celebrate and love diversity. So it's like, well, there you go. We're diverse. But let me tell you, the first thing is abortion out. And you'll say, well, but there's some things that we could justify it. I am out on abortion. Period, end of subject. No matter how that baby, and let me just tell you, I was a bastard child. My mom was a teenager. That when I was born, my great-grandmother, my Granny Hummel, was 48 years old. I don't know how many 48-year-old great-grandparents are in the room. I doubt that there's any. See, so you understand that I've got a little bit of skin in this game. But here's the deal. I'm out on abortion. Abortion's wrong. I don't care how you slice it. And no matter what, because at the end of the day, is it a baby? If it's a baby, we got to protect it. Fatherless and widows. See, but the third thing is, and I don't know, I'm not woke. And I'm going to say this as simply as I can and understand my heart, but I believe everybody should have a fair chance in America. I believe that we have to, as a church, it starts in the house of God, that we, anybody that's oppressed, anybody that their voice is suppressed, needs to have a voice in the church. And minority opportunity. I'm not wading into, if I get canceled, I don't know what that means because I'm not on any kind of social media platform. So what are they going to do? Tell me I can't preach here? Man, I got guys that'll defend me. And I can get in the pulpit anytime I want. But the bottom line is this, is that those three things, unborn babies, human trafficking, which let's just be honest, they're not trafficking people to work in factories. They're trafficking people to sexually abuse them. Okay? Let's just be real. And the third thing is, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what side of the tracks you were born on, man, you have opportunity. And I believe that's the bottom line, those three things. And let me tell you, that's where I'm voting. And that's why, because I believe that those three things, that touches heaven. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring heaven into our inferior reality. And that's the bottom line. I am fasting all the commentary regarding politics and the elections through the election. Somebody's going to have to tell me who was elected. I'm telling you, I'm done with it. And I'll tell you why. It's an interesting parallel in my life. What happened last week with Gustavo and Ricardo, with Pastor Sandy. Pastor Sandy got a 42-minute word at dinner after the service Tuesday night. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I kept scooting my chair closer to her because I'm like, okay, I want some of the splatter to hit me. But the bottom line is what we're going through, this right here, everything outside of here aside, this right here is what's real. God's the healer. God's the deliverer. God's our peace. God's our shelter. God's our defender. God's our joy. God's our life. See, that's what's real. All this other stuff, propaganda. All this other stuff, filler. I don't need any more filler. I want what's real. Because what's real is where our health is. Our health spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally. I mean, the last thing that I want to do is not have a great marriage. The last thing. None of this, let me just tell you, nothing else that I could see, nothing else that I could feel in my life is worth it if I don't have a strong, healthy marriage. Period. And see, what happens is that we're wired for obedience. Like you guys, how many of you guys have children? Your kids grow more disobedient by the day. But they're born to be obedient. They're born to, man, I want my mama, I want my mama, I want my mama, I want my mama. Delta, our little grandbaby, I call her the freebie, but Taylor said she cost 3 times more than the other ones did. Delta was adopted, our grandbaby. And man, I'll hold her. If Cassie gets in the neighborhood of where I'm holding her, she's fussing. No, she will ball up her fist and hit me in the mouth. Let me down. Let me go. I got to find my mama. But you know what? That's probably going to change. She becomes a teenager. She's going to pick and choose when she wants her mama. But see, the world, what happens is the world pulls that obedience out of us. We start out, when you started out as kindergartners, they all want to sit up front. They all want to raise their hand. They all want to answer. They get to high school, they want to make eye contact with the teacher. See, and that's what we've got to look at and understand, that we're wired for obedience. But then what happens in our life is the seduction of the devil brings us to a place where, man, we become rebellious. And here's what's interesting. And Gustavo started ministering to Sandy about the idea of in people's lives, because we deal with so many people, and people bringing witchcraft into the sense of it. And witchcraft, it's funny, it's interesting because we think about witchcraft as spells and voodoo and a bubbling cauldron and hexes and stuff like that. And it's not that at all. The Bible says that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. See, and we got to look at it. So what causes that rebellion? And there's three simple things. And we got to make sure these things aren't operative in our lives. But then we've got to look at the people around our lives where these things are operative, because they do affect our lives. And what that is jealousy, envy, and pride. Jealousy, envy, and pride. Man, the Bible simply says this: pride comes before the fall. You see people that have lost everything, they didn't lose everything because of bad decisions and mistakes. They didn't lose everything because of sin. You lose everything because of pride. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. It doesn't say sin comes before the fall. It says pride comes before the fall. See, so we've got to look at it. And you look at our world today. People that are involved in politics, people that are neck deep in politics, jealousy, envy, and pride is running rampant. But you know what? The church needs to have a voice. I've had half a dozen politicians that have texted me or emailed me that have said pictures of our billboard that said, for America to be strong, the church has to be strong. I believe that. I believe the world needs a strong America. I believe that. I believe the world needs a strong American military. I believe the world needs a strong American economy. But I'll tell you, America is going to be as strong as the church is strong. See, that's how this works. And it's not a slogan, it's a statement of truth. See, and it's interesting because there's a number of politicians that want to silence the church. No, when the pandemic hit, in California, you're not allowed to sing in the same room as somebody. See, at some point, science doesn't factor into it anymore. There's an agenda. And see, we have to look at the agendas of the world, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to pull us down. No, it stops making sense. When it stops making sense, when you can't do the math on it, I opt out. I'm not even going to discuss it anymore. It doesn't make any sense. It's ludicrous. And I was looking in the Word, and it's interesting. Read 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Okay? And it starts out, look, let me go to verse 3. Read the first two verses, but let me go to verse 3, and let's look at it in the Passion Translation. Okay? For the time is coming when they will no longer listen or respond, listen to healing words of truth. Here's what's interesting. People start waffling in their life, and their life starts getting messy, and things, they start drifting. They don't feel right going to church. Why? Because that's the way the enemy gets us to drift away from God. But why? Because there's healing words of truth here. See, that's what's going to happen. Let me tell you. What I'm believing God for, and it's going to be a little bit awkward because I'm not going to have any control of it. There's going to be miracles throughout this place today. People are receiving miracles. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. For the time is coming when they'll no longer listen to or respond to healing words of truth because they become selfish and prideful. They'll seek out teachers and this is politics today. I'm telling you, half of politics is people seeking out soothing words that line up with their desires, saying what they want to hear. You know, it's like that famous line, Jack Nicholson, the movie, man, you can't handle the truth. I can handle the truth. Just tell me the truth. And thank God I married a literal woman. That's all Sandy's about. She's not going to sugarcoat it for you. She's going to give you the truth. Now listen to verse 4. They'll close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths. And I'm telling you, sadly, a lot of the church is full of that. So be alert to all these things and overcome every form of evil. Carry in your heart a passion of your calling. Now listen. The New King James says, and do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of your ministry. But listen to how it is in the Passion Translation. Carry in your heart the passion of your calling as a church planter and evangelist. And fulfill your ministry calling. I'll tell you, I've had something in my heart. We started a program called Guts X that's a top-tier discipleship program. And it's kind of just an experiment right now. We're in our second year of it. Has revolutionized our church. But I've had I know God's called us to help mold, form, and build pastors, leaders, and a school of leadership, a school of church leadership, if you will. I've had it confirmed 3 times. And now I'm like, okay, where do we go with this? Why? Because you go back to that verse in 2 Timothy 4 that says, do the work of a church planter and evangelist. And I'm telling you, those two go the same. I spoke to a group. It was 500 or 600 pastors at a conference in Alabama. And they were asking me questions. And there was church planters. And they were asking me questions about pastoring. And finally, this guy... And I got to admit, full disclosure, he bugged me. And he's asking questions, and just the whole, it's like, I don't want to look at you, much less listen to you. You just bug me. And so I'm just listening, and I'm acting holy, you know, and finally he asked me a question. I said, hold it. Are you planning a church? He said, yes. I said, where are you doing it? He said, here. Here's the name of it. Man, we've already got this much money, and we're securing a building. And his head just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm looking at him thinking, you're going to freaking pop him here in a minute. But finally I just said, stop. I can't listen to you anymore. I said, tell me the last person you led to the Lord. What was his name? And he just kind of clammed up. And I said, what did he look like? Because a lot of people have led the Lord. I don't know their name. So what did he look like? What color hair did he have? What kind of shirt was he wearing? And I said, can you remember the last person you led to the Lord? And he didn't say anything. I said, why do you want to plant a church if you're not a soul winner, if you're not leading people to the Lord? There's enough churches out there right now with a bunch of room for the people we have currently. I think we've got to activate the evangelism in church at the highest level. But my definition of miracle is when my inferior reality, when heaven comes in contact with it. That's what a miracle is. And we have to look at that it's the miraculous that the church produces. That's who we are. Our assignment is to bring heaven into the world. And with that, which I believe is a great transition to bring Sandy up. Sister Sandy. And that's how she prefers to be called now.
Do not want to be called now. Okay? Okay. I am 59 years old, and this has never happened to me before.
I married an older woman.
He didn't. He's about to be 63, just so everybody knows.
62.
He's 62 right now, 63 December 5th. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this, and I know everybody wants to get out of here, but what happened was when we went out to dinner.
Tuesday night
with Gustavo, he said something, and it actually is on tape, and I listened to part of it this morning, but he said in the first service, there's going to be a girl that's wearing pink, and she has two boys, and you're supposed to minister to her, tell her this. And then you're supposed to get the rest. So, of course, before the 9:30 service, I'm looking around. I kind of had somebody in my mind that I thought was, even like 2 days later after he told me that, like Thursday, I felt like I knew who that girl was going to be. And so what happened was she came in and she didn't have any pink on, okay? Well, so then 2 rows back, I see this girl, and she has pink in a dress, but she also has some kind of burnt brown kind of thing in it or something. So in my mind, I was thinking it was going to be totally pink, and it was going to be like hot pink I had in my mind.
It's kind of a pinkish brown.
I don't know. But anyway, she was wearing pink. So the thing is I knew it was her. So I called her up. I told her what he said for me to tell her, which is pretty amazing that he left on Tuesday night and had a word for someone that was coming in the future that I didn't even know about. So he said, so I called her up, prayed for her, blah, blah, blah. Then the girl that I thought it was for came up to me after the service and said, and I just looked at her and she said, I know that word was for me. And I said, yeah. I said, I felt like it was for you at the beginning. And she said, well, the reason why I didn't wear pink was because I went to a color consultant last week and they told me not to ever wear pink again. And she
said, you can't
make
this stuff up.
No, she wore pink all the time. That's what made me think about it. She likes to wear pink. But anyway, I'm saying all this to say that he told us in this service, that there's supposed to be a man named Todd. And I don't know who Todd is. I don't know a Todd. I know his brother Todd. He lives in California. This could be someone in Sepulpa. This could be someone in Skytook. And something that's going to happen here, we're going to do something that he told me to do, and it's for anybody that wants it. And we're going to get it to the two pastors that are in Skytook and Sepulpa, so you have not missed out. You have not missed out. You're watching right now. Anyone that's online that feels like something's for them, that they want one of these, we will mail these to you. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. Don't want anyone missing out on this. Is there a Todd or is there a Roger? Roger was the other name. Todd and Roger. Well, there you go, Roger. Come here. It was you. And I saw you in the 9:30 service and did not know you were sitting here in the 11. And I don't even know what to say to you. I felt like the Lord was going to show... That's what to even say.
There, I have a number of men of God in my life. Guys I speak to, guys I submit things to, guys I make confessions to, guys that they're just my guys, okay? Roger Walsh, who's an elder in the church and has been for 15, I don't know how long has it been, Scott? 20, he's been in the church probably 25 years. Roger, for that level, and I believe Scott can probably speak to this as well, he's the standard for those guys in my life. Roger is. And what the word I believe God has for Roger today is who he is in my life and a lot of your lives, God's called him to be that man publicly, that man of God, where the gifting that's on his life, that to me, that it's almost like a security gift. I don't know that it brings a security to it. And it's this isn't something that he's striving for. Barb, will you come up here with us? Or that he's ever looking for. Never look for anything. I mean, when I've gone through two or three of the biggest ordeals of my life, I happen to just, it's just God almost serendipitously be in the room with Roger. And Roger has asked me, there was one fight I was in my life, and Roger said, "Have you asked God to forgive you?" And I'm thinking that it's like, no, I'm right. That's what I'm thinking. I'm right in this area. I don't need to, I'm thinking this, but he said, "Have you asked God to forgive you?" And then I realized he meant generally, just if I called God's forgiveness into my life, and it's like, yes. He said, "Have you asked God to forgive you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, I'm in. I'm with you." And it, like, that changed my life. When he did, we were in a golf cart in the DC parking lot during the nightmare. I could tell you, I could walk you over to that spot and put an X down and say, this is where that happened. And God did something in my heart at that moment. That's who Roger is. So I'm not prophetic like Gustavo, and I think he's as clumsy as you could be with it. You know, I mean, it's like a Spanish Mad Lib he's playing with us. But with Roger, I believe that the man of God that he is, it's going to mushroom. And listen, it's not going to be confined to just this property or Skytook and Sepulpa. It's going to absolutely make an impact that is going to, it's going to be profound. So God, I just thank you right now for Roger, for his life. God, I thank you that your hand's on his life. God, I pray a supernatural move of your spirit. God, I thank you that Gustavo calling him out Tuesday at dinner, God, electrifies this church. And God, I thank you right now for the gifting that's in the Walsh household, that Barb carries it. God, I thank you for the spiritual gift of prophecy. God, I thank you for discerning of spirits. God, I thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And God, I thank you for a wisdom gift that's on his life. God, to even be enhanced even right now. God, I thank you that he has operated in the shadows up till now, but God, it all comes to light today. God, I thank you for the public ministry that Roger walks in. God, to glorify you. God, I thank you for that, and I praise you for that. God, I thank you right now for millions of dollars to come through their accounts. God, that he's been faithful in what's been small, and you are going to give him plenty in the name of Jesus. Sandy, do you have anything else?
I just want to make sure that's amazing. And actually, when he first said Roger, sorry, you're the only Roger I know. And so I was thinking that was it. But then I started second guessing it, which leads into my next thing, but it was you. Thank you for coming to both services. What's crazy about this is that, not crazy about it, when Gustavo was ministering on Tuesday night, I want every one of you guys to go to the archive if you did not come Tuesday night. I can't even explain. Every time was great, but Tuesday night was really amazing, okay? Well, one of the things he said, he went over to this little boy. I won't go into details. I'll let you watch it. But he said the whole night he was getting this word, Jose. And he said that he kept saying, Jose, you know, Jose, Jose. And he was like, where's this Jose? So he walks over to this mom that's sitting over here, and this little boy is sitting next to her. So they get up. He has, I don't even think he had him get up. He said, he gave a word. He's special needs boy, and he said something to the mom. And he said, this child is not a curse. This child is a blessing in your life. And this child has had an angel with them. And he's like, I don't know what the doctrine is here, but has had an angel with him present since the day he was born. So everyone was just quiet, you know, and he said, what the Lord's showing me is Josue. Well, the whole time the little boy's like, you know, I mean, he's trying to communicate that he's Josue. So he's trying to get the mic. You'll have to watch it to see it. Anyway, it was just super powerful. But he gave, Gustavo gave a message during that time. And he said, you know, the whole time he's hearing the name Josue or Jose. I'm not even sure which one it is, Jose. To be honest with you. Okay. So, because I didn't know the people. But anyway, he said, this is what happens. He said, I got something about this boy's name. And I knew I was supposed to go minister to this boy. He said, I knew it was God. The second thing that came to my mind was the enemy saying, there's no Jose in this building. You're going to make a fool of yourself. And then the third was him rationalizing things like, well, maybe there'll be a Jose another night, or maybe he'll be somewhere else. He said he had to fight through that to walk over to that family and tell that to them. Okay, so what I'm telling you is that I'm telling you that this is for you, that the first is from God, the first thing's from God. So if you're like in a grocery store, you're at work, you're at home or whatever, and you feel strongly that you're supposed to pay for someone's groceries, that you're supposed to help someone, you're supposed to say something to them, that's from God. The second, the enemy's immediately going to come in and say, they're going to think you're an idiot. They don't need you to pay for their groceries. They don't need you to do that. Whatever he says, okay? Third, you're going to come in and you're going to say, you know what? I went to that service. Some kind of stuff that I didn't understand happened. And you know what? They're probably just saying that. I don't know. I don't know what your reasoning is. But this is the deal. He told me to do this, and I'm just going to be obedient to it, okay? He told me to go home and cut up a bunch of red ribbon. And that this ribbon, and to anoint it with oil, and to pray over the ribbon. He told me that I was supposed to bring it to these services. I was supposed to give it to the leaders to pass out to each person here. I want everyone to take one. You do not have to take one. You know, 800 people were invited to the upper room. 120 came. I really feel like that there were, and I've always asked God, like, why did only 120 come? I mean, Jesus, like the Holy Spirit, moved on 800 people, and only 120 people came. It's because they reasoned it in their mind. They reasoned, I'm not doing that. I have never in my life done what he told me to do. I've never gotten up here and said this before. I don't even know that we're the kind of church or have been the kind of church to even do something like this. But you know what? I am obedient to what God said to do. So this is what I'm supposed to do. Prayed over all these red ribbons. I'm going to have some leaders come up here and get some red ribbons. You can come up and get a red ribbon just out of this bag if you want to. He instructed that you're supposed to put this on the front door post of your house, okay? The front door. The door that you come in is what that you enter into is where you're supposed to put this. Secondly, like Bill and I enter in through two doors. One, we enter through the front door, and we always enter through the garage. We cut ours. And we put one over the front door and one over the garage. And he said this would be a symbolic act, a symbolic prophetic act of the Passover where this is a representation of Jesus' blood. And he specifically brought up COVID. He specifically brought up that no COVID. In fact, right now, we'll just pray over this while it's getting passed out. God, I thank you for each person here. And God, I thank you for each person that takes it in each household. Even in Sky Took and Sepulpa that's coming their way, and anybody on the internet, God, I thank you that no evil shall come near your dwelling, each person's dwelling. I thank you that their kids will serve the Lord. I thank you, Father, that what they put their hand to will prosper. There'll be prosperity in every single household here. God, I thank you that COVID will never enter the doors of these homes. Even if it's already entered in some way, God, I thank you that this, in the name of Jesus, is broken. God, I thank you that any sickness, disease, poverty, anything that does not line up with your word has no business and no place in any of these households. I thank you that their children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren will be blessed. Every single person that's here that's willing to receive this, you have a choice. You can receive it or you can reject it. And I'm telling you, anybody that knows me knows I do not do this. I'm telling you, do it. What is it going to hurt? Let me tell you something. We did it. We had a bunch of trick-or-treaters come by our house last night. We prayed for almost every single family that came to our house.
Give them a red ribbon.
I said, I know this is crazy, but take this ribbon and, you know, whatever. I mean, I want to give it to everybody I can possibly come in contact with, because I don't think there's anything super magical about this ribbon, okay? But what it does is activate something in your heart, and it's a prophetic act out of obedience. And it's something that's very different from anything we've ever done. So I'm urging you to do it. So there will be more up here with me, and it's in a Ziploc baggie. So I just believe in Jesus' name that this will come to pass. And I love all you guys, and I don't know some of you, but you know what? I'm believing for amazing things in your life. In Jesus' name.
That was about 30 seconds of Gustavo's 42-minute word to Sandy at dinner. And he's eating the whole time, too, which is an adventure in itself. I've got a quick word for you. And the thing that Gustavo told Sandy was he didn't say, hey, you give these to everybody. He said, you take these ribbons, anoint it with oil. The red signifies the blood of Jesus, the Passover blood of Jesus. Put it over the door of your home. COVID can't get in, and no other evil can get in there. Okay? And that's essentially what it was. But what he said was this, and this is my point today. My point today is that he said, you give this to leaders who turn and take it to the people. And that's what we did here today. And I want you guys to know that you have a voice. Your voice starts in the church. Any kind of voice that I have in the world, any kind of voice I have politically, it all starts from this platform here. I don't have a church platform voice and a political platform voice. Okay? It all emanates from God's word and the truth of God's word. And it doesn't matter what my history of politics has been. This is a brand new day. I'm just telling you. But in Acts, the first few chapters of Acts, and I encourage you to read through the book of Acts and get into the fourth chapter of Acts, where Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And they, on the way to the temple, they came to the gate called Beautiful. At the gate Beautiful was a man that had been crippled since his birth, that had And it, as was custom for him, he sat. Now listen to this. This blew my mind when God showed me this. But it was customary for him to sit at that gate on the way to the temple to beg. And so he stopped Peter and John, and he said, hey, do you have something, some alms? And they said, they knew him. They described him as being a man crippled since birth. And that's when Peter reached down and grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up and said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, walk. And when he landed on his feet after Peter pulled him up, his legs caught, his feet for the first time. So he ran and jumped and praised God, and it caused a big stir. But here's what hit me is he sat there, which was his custom, at the gate to the temple. It's the temple that Jesus went to throughout his whole life to go pray. How many times did Jesus walk by that beggar and nothing happened? I'm telling you, I just got a chill. Man, how many times did Jesus, it was hundreds of times Jesus walked by him, but the first time Peter and John walked by them after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, he was healed and delivered. See, that's what this signifies in here today. You guys, listen. You get your red ribbon. You cut it up into pieces. You anoint it with oil. You pray and believe God's promise on that. And you distribute it to everyone you can. Sandy wasn't lying. People came to our house to trick or treat. If there was a parent, she gave them a red ribbon. And I'm telling you, every single one of them grabbed it like this. Kids are grabbing full-size Snicker bars, and those parents were grabbing the ribbons. Let me tell you, the world is hungry for this. We are all so vulnerable, but in His house we're not. We're protected. There's a banner over us, and that banner's love. And what does that banner do? That banner casts out all fear. That the perfect love of God casts out all fear. The world is gripped in fear. This whole election is about fear. But we're not. And see, we've got to understand that. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it's interesting because Paul's quoting Jesus in here. And he says, in an acceptable time, I've heard you. And in the day of salvation, I've helped you. And we think, if you stop right there, we're thinking, well, that's a hope-filled idea. That he said, in an acceptable time, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I've helped you. And you're like, okay, that's good. But then Paul brings the wood. He said, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice that Jesus didn't say, and Paul didn't repeat, hey, someday. Hey, ma'am, someday. No, he said, today. Today is the day. Sir, today is your day. You know what you got to do? Man, you got to pull that helmet on, you got to strap it up, and you got to take the field. There's no more riding the pine. There's no more sitting on the bench. See, why did Jesus walk by that beggar hundreds of times, nothing happened, and the first time John and Peter walked by, the guy's dramatically healed? It's because God's showing us we're not here to be spectators. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what your gender is, doesn't matter what your skin color is, doesn't matter what your background is, none of that matters to God. Notice in the Old Testament, Sandy referred to 120 people in the upper room, but it was 120 men. Well, you know what happened that day? That was broken. Mary, Martha, Ananias and Sapphira, all kinds of women came and started following. Let me tell you, that blew the Jewish, the Middle Eastern culture, it blew their minds. That Jesus opened the door for girls. So much so that he said, there's neither male nor female in the kingdom. Man, there's guys that come up to me and say, man, do you have women preach? I say, I don't even go there. It's like, okay, you're an idiot. My Bible says the eyes of the Lord are searching. Who are going to be able to pull the trigger? And see, what we've got to do is we've got to understand this. Today's the day. Not someday. It's the day of our salvation. Three components of salvation. Number one, big one, forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you something. I'm going to heaven. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Jesus is Lord of my life. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No way, let me tell you, that standard is so high, no way I could meet it naturally. But you know what? Today's the day of salvation. So guess what? My sin's forgiven. Like it never happened. Sir, any sin you've ever committed because of the blood of Jesus, it's like it never happened. And you'll say, God, remember that time I cussed that guy out? God, remember that guy, that time I, God, remember? And God's like, I can't remember. He takes our sin and he throws it, he doesn't just forget it, he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. So there's a repercussive forgetting that God has in our life that can't remember our sin. And let me tell you, sir, for me, that's great news. God can't remember my sin. He's not taking account of my sin. Okay, so forgiveness and healing from disease. That's it. Today, deliverance from torment. Let me tell you, the entire world. Man, I saw a news report, and I'm fasting the news from now through the election. I'm not talking about it. I'm not listening to anybody about it. I'm not, because let me tell you, it's tormenting the world, not just our country. And what God gives me in that salvation is deliverance from torment. See, what I've got to do, and I'm going to make a statement, I've got to refuse doctrine, any kind of way of living that makes excuse or explains away lack and need. No more need. No more lack. I'm not excusing it. I sit in pastors' meetings regularly, and I'm telling you, every one of those meetings, someone will start talking about some kind of lack or some kind of need or some kind of death that happens that it's like, well, some people get healed, some people don't. Let me tell you, the last time that meeting was a group of local pastors, I excused myself and I left. I got to go. I got to go find my people, Roger and Scott and Mark and Matt and Sean and Sheldon. I got to go find my people. See, there's no provision in God's promise for unanswered prayer. None. You ask errantly, you ask amiss, but you calling on God's promise, there's no provision for unanswered prayer. And let me tell you what this is here today. This is an atmosphere of miracles. So the word God gave me for this service, and it's awkward because I'm relinquishing control now. Like I'm surrendering. I'm submitting to the Spirit of God.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.